TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 112, and I am Livia, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from Glendale.
I'm Susie from Sherman Oaks.
And I'm Ronnie from Las Vegas.
And first of all, I'm sure you guys know, if you've been following me on Twitter, I have been trying to repost all the renewals and cancellations, and I will be trying to... I'm going to recap very quickly by network, best I can, mainly the cancellations and then the renewals of things that I haven't talked about yet. Because if we've talked about them already, I guess we don't... I've already, you know, news. So, starting with ABC, cancellations, GCB, who I don't think anybody was watching, GCB,
ugh.
Man Up, Missing, Pan Am the River, and Work It. We already knew most of those were canceled. Renewals that are new is Scandal. Woohoo for me. everything else, I thought, like, people already knew. Happy Endings got renewed. We already knew Once Upon a Time, Suburgatory, Modern Family. Like, those things we already knew. So, that's not real. Oh, Don't Trust the Bee is a big one that got renewed. I saw the pilot. I thought it was all right. I saw Gilded Lilies on Ordered to Series from ABC before, and now I don't see it on this list. I saw it on another list. Because, of course, I'm excited about Gilded Lilies because that's John Barrowman. All right, so next up, we've got CBS. And in the renewal category that we did not know about, well, Person of Interest got renewed.
We've known about that, though.
But we have known about that. I'm trying to see anything else. Oh, CSI New York just got renewed. They got the last-minute renewal. Canceled, we have CSI Miami, How to Be a Gentleman, Unforgettable, Gifted Man, and Rob. Okay, so CW, we already knew everything that got renewed, I think. Well, Nikita and Gossip Girl were the last two to get renewed.
Well, Heart of Dixie.
And Heart of Dixie got renewed. In the cancellation, we have Ringer and Secret Circle, which I am so tired that Secret Circle, I'm glad it's gone, technically. honestly. Okay, on to Fox. The Fox in the renewal cancel the renewal category that's new is Touch. So that's kind of a big deal that that got picked up.
And Alcatraz got canceled.
Well, I'm going to canceled.
Oh. Sorry.
Jumping ahead. Canceled. Alcatraz.
Oh, wow.
And Breaking In, Finder, and I Hate My Teenage Daughter. All those just got canceled. NBC. Renewal, we already knew about Community, but they only got half a season. That's new. 30 Rock renewed.
We didn't know about that. They just announced that last week.
Oh, for Community?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, Community, Smash. 30 Rock got renewed, but was told it's their last season. And Whitney and Up All Night got renewed. I don't know why Whitney. Both Whitney and Community got moved to Friday, which is also bizarre.
Parks and Rec got renewed, too.
Oh, but, yes,
but I think
Parks
for
13, and
Rec. Again.
And under canceled for NBC, we have Awake, which is not surprising. Are You There, Chelsea? Bent, BFF, and Harry's Law, which is actually surprising.
Especially because it's their highest rated scripted show consistently. I mean, the demos are terrible, but still, if something's working, they should keep it on the air.
Yeah, I don't understand that. My mom is actually going to be really mad. I haven't told her because it's Mother's Day. All right, so let's move on to the shows. All right, first up, we're going to talk about Game of Thrones. So this week was, what was it called? Oh, The Old Gods and the New.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode had a bunch of stuff in it. The main thing that sticks out in my mind is the riot, which was really interesting because they're sending off Princess Marsala, and they go back. And it seems like the crowd is cheering Joffrey, but then you realize they're kind of mocking Joffrey.
Yeah.
And then people start throwing stuff and it becomes chaotic and he's like, kill the ball! And I was like, yes, that's the way to incite a riot. Thank you, Joffrey.
And inspire loyalty among your subjects.
Exactly. He didn't even do the whole let them eat cake. He was like, kill right. them all. Right. And
you didn't count pie in your face, you know. What do you expect?
But at least we got another scene of Tyrion slapping it.
Yes.
Yes.
That was pretty good.
Especially afterwards how Tyrion goes, does my hand fall off since I slapped the king? That was fantastic.
But the thing is, he has actually made an enemy of the king. But the thing that's interesting is for some reason, Joffrey is kind of afraid of Tyrion.
He should be.
Well, I'm saying he's not afraid of his mother at all. But he's afraid of Tyrion.
He should be.
Well, I think it's because it's his mom and he knows that ultimately she'll just do whatever he wants. But Tyrion, he knows it's his uncle, so he has to have some respect for him amongst everyone else. And also because Tyrion probably, there's always been that relationship between Tyrion and Jaime, where Jaime really is kind of fond of him. So I think Joffrey might actually know that his dad, so to speak, or as he calls him uncle, would probably not be pleased. And so I think there's a history to that.
Well, it is, but except that Joffrey doesn't know that Jaime is his father.
Oh, he...
It's
his uncle, but he knows, though, that...
But in his head, he still thinks of him as his uncle. Because if he acknowledges him as his father, he's not king.
But he still has that. He knows how important Jaime is to his mother, and so I think there's machinations there where Joffrey has at least some inkling of Tyrion's importance in the family.
But Tyrion threatens him specifically with that piece of knowledge. I mean, he makes a not-so-veiled threat.
Oh, yeah. Because he knows that he actually has no real claim to the throne.
But, I mean, the line that's gotten a lot of traction this week is that we've had stupid kings and we've had evil kings, but we've never had a stupid evil king. The thing with Sansa, as it's been easy to pile on Sansa, especially earlier in season one.
Now it's like, you just...
Now it's like, goodness. I mean, the fact that she was... And I love that it was the Hound, right?
Yeah.
The Hound that keeps her from being raped. But that was pretty intense because it was not looking good for her.
Yeah, well, the thing that scared me more is because that scene sort of happens in the book, but it happens to another girl. And the rape actually happens.
Oh.
So it happens to another... And Sansa actually gets away. So when they put Sansa in that situation, I was like, holy crap, are they going to... You know?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I was actually really scared right there. And so when the Hound comes to rescue her, I was like, oh, thank God.
I like the Hound.
Well, the Hound has a really bizarre relationship with Sansa.
Well, he's like her protector.
Yeah,
like her guardian demon or something.
Yes.
But self-appointed, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's his self-appointed. And he is fond of her, but he also wants her to be afraid of him. And it's a weird kind of relationship.
Well,
and I think also they both hate Joffrey because how Joffrey calls him dog.
Yeah, he really hates that. Yes. He really does hate that.
But, I mean, even if you go back to the formation of the relationship, it's interesting because he's kind of like a watchdog for her, literally.
Well, it's basically Beauty and the Beast because he's the Beast and she's the Beauty. Right. It's pretty much that story. Huh. And she's being held prisoner, so yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to necessarily have that kind of happy ending.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Without knowing any book spoilers. But.
Right, but that's pretty much the relationship. But I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. But the question is, would the Hound actually move against Joffrey if he really tried to hurt Sansa? Like, that I don't know.
I doubt it. He just seems to be... He knows where his paycheck is or whatever. It's like he's proven that he's very loyal to Joffrey and he'll do what he says. But given his scruples, you know, he does extend that kindness, if you want to call it that, to Sansa. Because he has that softness for her.
But he does, you know, but I don't think it would... If it conflicted with Joffrey, I don't think he would necessarily do anything.
But if there was a situation where the Hound... Where Joffrey needed the Hound and the Hound could conveniently withdraw support...
I still don't think he would do that.
You don't think so?
I don't think so either. Yeah.
He's all about loyalty.
He really is. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So the other things that were happening, you had the castle with Arya and Tywin. And Littlefinger.
Arya, it's like, honey, if you're going to do the espionage thing, be a little bit smarter about it.
What are you... She's like 9.
I know, but what are you still...
Like, give her a break. She's not that good at the whole... There's a learning curve to the espionage.
Yeah, but I want her... It's like you're a little bit smarter than your dad, but not enough to keep yourself alive.
Actually, she is keeping herself alive.
Oh, she is.
She's doing pretty good.
When she chases down the guy, the man.
Yeah, she's like, she was finding any long haired knight, and then she just yells the name, and he's like, all right, I got it. She's like, no, right now.
He's that good that he does it. That's the scary part.
Well, the thing that looks, the look he gives her is hilarious because he has this exasperated look like, now, all right.
This kind of reminds me of an inversion of the genie three wishes.
Right.
I just hope she doesn't. I mean, the first one was just kind of a whim.
She was a test.
This one was like
an emergency.
But I hope the last one is going to be somebody she really wants to take out.
In the book, it's awesome. Her last one is actually pretty awesome, okay. And I was like, wow! I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And I guess I might be disparate, but for the book people, you probably already know, but do you guys think, at least in the TV version, that Littlefinger did recognize her or not?
That's not in the book at all.
It wasn't even in the book.
I think Littlefinger, out of his whatever, his desire for Catelyn, is going to keep his mouth shut.
I don't think his desire for... No.
By his relationship with her in the past, and...
It's all about power now. He doesn't care about Catelyn anymore.
Yeah,
but I don't think... It doesn't...
If he recognized her, he will use that knowledge when he needs it most.
Exactly.
That's how he thinks. Yeah.
Okay.
If he did recognize her. But my point is, how many times has he seen her? He's seen her maybe once or twice.
Okay.
So he's looking at her like, she looks really familiar. But yeah. I don't know if he's like, oh, she's Arya Stark. Like...
Yeah, he would not expect her to be there of all places, you know?
Yeah.
It would be so out of context.
Especially in that role.
Right.
Right, so, but at the same time, with her missing, you know what I mean? And the fact, you know, I don't know.
But he's not actively looking for her. That's not his job.
No.
So I'm not sure if he recognized her, because my thing is, because she does look all grimy and gruff, and her hair's all short, and he's only seen her like twice. So, maybe he's recognized her, maybe he doesn't. And if he does recognize her, he will use it to his advantage
when
he wants to, yeah. So, I'm not surprised that if he recognized her, he didn't say anything. Because he'd be calculating, when can I use this information?
Yep, exactly.
But, yeah, all that was really good. And I like the story, I like them talking. I like Arya and Tywin talking.
It's an interesting relationship.
Yeah,
him be really parental or, you know...
Right, and you get the idea that his kids kind of are afraid of him.
Yeah, they are.
So
and they should be.
So it's kind of strange to see him. Well, he's not exactly he's as nice to Arya as he can be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt that he would have her beaten if she did something wrong, but
if he knew who she really was, he would use her.
He would use her, absolutely.
Use her to get his son back.
Absolutely, but he does feel an affection for her because she's like the genius among the idiots.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think he actually has this weird respect for her. Like, if this kid could read and like have some knowledge of things and his advisors don't. I think he finds her almost amusing to that extent.
I love that actress. I think she's going to have a long, successful career.
Yeah, as long as she makes it through her teenage years without going crazy, I agree with you.
Yes.
Because that's the pitfall.
Okay, and don't forget, we also had the taking of Winterfell.
Theon.
Greyjoy?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yep. Hate him.
Well, wait for next week.
We're going to hate him more?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the Sir Roderick beheading was just so hard to watch.
That was incredibly brutal, you know?
Yeah, I was like, dude, I like the fact that Roderick was like, in Winterfell, you know, if you convict a man, you got to do it yourself. I know why Roderick did that, because he wanted him to feel it himself, except I'm like, dude, this guy doesn't know how to chop off your head. And it was like, chop, 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 kick. I was like, wow. Man, that was not pleasant. And then he did it in front of the kids and everything. Like, oh, come on, man.
But given like sort of the circumstances, he did have to make a stand, you know what I mean, to have any respect at all.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand how they were trying to split your sympathies and everything, but I hate Theon Greyjoy.
No, it was, and remember too, because I know, Livia, you read the books as well, and I was really surprised that in the second series, which this is, in the books, you know, that George Martin gave him a voice. Oh, you know, because usually you're in the head. The point of view is from the different characters that we know and love.
Yeah.
But in the book, so as soon as I was like, Theon, wait a minute, I don't want to know what's going in this guy's head. I don't want to see from his standpoint. And from the first chapter of him, I hated him in the book, you know?
Yeah. Even in his head, I hate him. That's the thing that's the truth. That's the thing that's true.
To like read the book through his eyes in those chapters, and I constantly hated him. So I agree with you too, Livia, that, you know, that they're trying to show that, oh, you know, he took over the castle, and so now he has to earn their respect. And it's like, yeah, well, you know what? That's not the way to do it, and you're too stupid. And he kept compounding it over and over and over again. And it's like, oh, my God, someone knock his head off, okay?
Well, and Sir Roderick, they changed some stuff because Sir Roderick does get killed in the battle, and they just had Theon actually kill him, which I thought was more effective. So I gave them points for that, but what's coming this week is...
Oh, tonight's a big episode.
Yeah, it's not good.
Wow. It's our eyeball.
I know. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I'm giving preamble away. But actually, by the time the listeners hear this, it would have already happened. So there you go.
There you go. But I'm glad that the wildling, I forgot her name, was able to get, you know, sort of...
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, she got the boys away.
Go Tonks.
Yes, go Tonks. She got the boys away. I saw online everybody was complaining, like, why didn't she just slit Theon's throat while she was in bed with him? Because she slits the other guy's throat.
Right.
And I was like, yes, that's a very valid point, except that he doesn't die at this point. That's the only explanation I have.
Way off book.
I do feel like, come on, Rob, come and kill him. Because I liked what Rob was like. He was like, no, I don't want you to kill him. He's like, get your guy up there, capture him, and then let me kill him. I was like, nice. Yeah.
Very nice.
And I have to say one thing, the two rom-coms that are going on in the story, I don't like them. Which is Rob and his new girl Jon Snow and his new girl.
What was that about?
Which one? Rob?
Either one.
That's what I said. I don't care about the rom-coms at all.
The rom-coms. Not very funny. I don't mind the Rob one as much. It seems a little bit more organic. But the Jon Snow just seemed to come out of nowhere, literally.
It's the only thing that's weird about that is she's actually a character in the books. Like, I got to that part, like, because I was literally reading the books right before I was watching the episode, and then I kept writing right after because I wanted to hurry up. Because stuff is going out of order, so I was like, I don't know what's happening right now.
I told you, they messed it up this season, it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's some of the stuff is from book three, and some of the stuff is from book two. So I was like, I was kind of lost because I've only read up to book two. But yes, the girl is from the books. And
the Jon Snow one, she's in the book, but she didn't. They didn't play that little, you know, hey.
Yeah, I agree.
Tease it thing. That was very copacetic in the book.
Yeah, and in the book, it felt more organic than it does here.
Yeah.
And especially that, you know, his other colleagues just left. You know what I mean? And just, you know, if they're going to kill her and move on. Why did they go and just leave it up to him?
Well, there's a reason for that.
That was in the book too, though.
Yeah, in the book, they did the same thing, but they did it for a reason. And there's actually an explanation for it, but anyway.
And a payoff.
There's a really good payoff for it.
Yep.
So hopefully there's still a similar playoff.
Ooh, who stole the dragons?
That
I know, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That big mystery. Well, her people slaughtered hurt my feelings. I was not happy. Like, those guys got slaughtered. Like, I was like,
I liked all them.
Yeah, I know. I was sad. All right, let's move on. We have talked about this for way too long, actually. Mad Men, you're on a timer because Game of Thrones took all the time. Sorry. So, Mad Men, go.
I'll let you start, Tom.
Okay, I'm on Team Megan, and boy, I have no idea where they're going with all of this. Because after this whole, like, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Draper is a team and how he got her a job at the agency, and it turns out she's really good at it. Mm-hmm. Turns out she really wants to be an actress.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that too, because I'm with you. I'm kind of on her team as well. She shows a lot of gumption, and you know, I just thought, hey, it's great. You know, and he was fabulous. You know, when she woke him up at night and said, you know, this basically was just killing her. She like had to admit it. You know, that she's just not happy and she wants to go back to acting. And he's like, oh, is that all? That's fine. You know, don't worry about it. But I'm not really sure what to make of kind of what they're setting up at the end, where Peggy was telling him, like, you're not mad at me, you know, and it's like, well, is that the implication that he's mad really at Megan and he's just not showing it? Because he really is good at showing how mad he is at people usually. So I don't know what that, are we supposed to believe that there's tension there that isn't, you know?
I think one of the fascinating things about the relationship with Megan is he is much more open with her than he ever was with Betty. And yeah. She is much more defiant of him than Betty ever was. She was more passive-aggressive thing. But it still feels like there's this shoe waiting to drop in the background. And it's almost as if he specifically marries a type thinking that he can kind of like a Henry Higgins, I can remake her in my image.
Okay.
And with Betty, that only worked to a certain point. And with Megan, it works to a farther point. But are we going to hit a wall somewhere?
Yeah, but I think he realizes what he has and how awesome she is. And I just think, is he going to screw himself up again, essentially?
I hope not.
Because that's what he does, you know?
Yeah. Yep, self-destructive. I showed the pilot episode to my screenwriting class every semester, and we just watched this again. And I tell you, watching that first episode and then being, you know, partway through fifth season, it's like he's come a long way.
Yeah,
I mean, he's moved from an anti-hero to something resembling kind of a traditional hero, and I'm just pulling for him.
I know. Yeah, like this whole season, I've been like, oh, I don't actually hate him.
Stay on the path, Don. Stay on the path.
So we'll see where that goes. But overall, it was a good episode.
Oh, and the thing with Pete? Woo!
Oh, Pete, you know what? I want to smack him again.
Yeah. You know? It's just, did you recognize Alexis Bledel from Gilmore Girls?
I did. Yeah, and I figured, oh, well, you know what? She's perfectly fine in that role. You know, she plays it very well as, you know, kind of the... I don't know, a typical, I guess, of that period, you know, much like Peggy was. It's like, you know, she's stuck in a rut in her marriage, sees no way out, and here comes someone else, and it's like, oh, I'll have a tryst. It's like, oh my gosh, okay. Like, is that what everyone does there when they're not happy? But I don't know where that's going with Pete and her, and to be honest, I almost don't even care, because I'm just really disappointed in Pete right now.
Yeah, well, he's always been a disappointing guy.
All right. He is, yeah. We'll see.
Wrapping that up, so thumbs up.
Thumbs up, Madman is on a roll.
Thumbs up.
All right. So next up, let's talk about Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time.
And this one was really kind of interesting.
Because it was co-written by Jane Espenson.
I'm not going to say that. But it was all about really trying to convince Emma again.
Still.
Oh, my God.
It's only been 20-some episodes.
So her big solution is that, because she talks to psychiatrists and he's like, the kid's getting worse. So she decides, I'm going to leave town and only come back to visit, and maybe he'll get better. And I was like, that sounds like a stupid solution. Like, what? Anyway. So that's her whole big thing. And it all comes down to the queen is like, I'm not giving him up, and I'll do whatever to keep him. So her whole thing, she talks to the Mad Hatter so she can get the poison apple, because all her own apples are just rotted. Just like, yes. Because the magic is coming back or going away. I can't remember. Basically, her part of magic is going away.
Yeah.
So she gets the apple and makes an apple turnover. I was like, oh, who knew she could bake? You know, that was pretty funny. And I like that the kid, what is his name?
Henry.
Henry. I like the fact that he's just like, look, you don't believe it. I will prove it to you. And he just eats the apple turnover,
knowing
that it's poisoned. But he also knows that true love's kiss can actually bring him back. But he should have actually told her that before he ate it. He should have been like, oh, and by the way, true love's kiss wakes me up. Thank you. And bites. So what'd you guys think?
I kind of didn't care about the past.
Yeah, the past wasn't that interesting.
It's like, move the storyline forward.
Well, was moving forward.
Oh, no. I liked seeing the Mad Hatter again. That was interesting. And I like that she and Mr. Gold facing off on
opposite sides. They're not friends right now.
Have they said what exactly transpired with them in the past?
Only that we've seen the fact that the reason where she got the spell was from him,
right?
And that they made a deal. Like, right. We know about their deal.
But we don't know what he has against her.
You mean why he doesn't like her?
Yeah, there's something that we have not been made privy to yet, because he's always kind of never. You know.
Following what Tom said, is that, yeah, there's an animosity that it seems like there's something more to it than just, you know, her being a, you know, being who she is.
That's true.
Yeah, I have to say, but it's like, it's funny. I don't remember like a lot of details, and I think I'm just frustrated with it too. It's like, it's okay, but it hasn't grabbed me the way I thought it was going to. And so I'm hanging in there with it, but I just wish, like, you know, like Tom was saying, that they would move along, especially with what's happening in Storybrooke, so that you just have, I mean, sort of a better understanding of all these different pieces. It's like a little, sometimes it feels it's a little bit too dispersed. I know they're going to bring it back, but it's like we have to wait too long to really get any answers.
Well, I think as soon as Emma actually believes, I think we'll be good. And hopefully this will be the episode.
And the magic will come back.
All right, so wrapping up. So I thought it was pretty decent. And
I would give it a thumb sideways.
Thumb side. Well, I'm excited about the finale. How about that?
I can go along with that.
All right. So next up, let's talk about Castle.
Finally.
At last.
No,
but I just want to know, why was she the one that was wet? That's not fair.
Well, all I know is Nathan Fillion knocked it out of the park. With his conversation with her, and he told, you know, he tells her that he loves her and all that. Like, that conversation was like, wow.
He
knocked that out of the park. And I also give him points for resisting a wet Beckett for a while to make her tell him what's going on in her head, you know? So, I from a relationship standpoint, it was awesome. Like, there was cheering going on all across the country.
Yeah.
From a standpoint about the conspiracy, I actually agree with Beckett in that I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I really don't care. Let her mother rest in peace and be done. But unfortunately for us, I don't think that's where they're going. Because
Evil Tom O'Pinnicott is on the scene.
Yeah, that was a pretty intense scene when he was, you know, up on the roof with between the two of them.
Oh yeah, that was because I was like, there's no way that I would ever believe she'd be able to beat him in a fight.
Thank you. I know.
Seriously?
Yep. And so they actually just didn't do that. They just had him beat her, and I was like, okay. Because unless she has some super spy fighting skills, which she does not have, I would never believe. Yeah, she's not Black Widow, right? I would never believe she'd be able to beat this. This guy's like 6'4" and built like a truck.
Yep.
Like, no, there's no way she's beating this guy in a fight.
He was basically toying with her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was like cat and mouse.
Yep. Yeah. He just basically bat. Every time she tried to get up, he'd hit her upside the head.
Yep.
And the moment that she's hanging off the side of the building, she hears Castle. Like, people are yelling for her, and she hears Castle's voice. And I thought that was interesting. I was like, why is Castle even there?
I thought that was really clever, actually.
And she wasn't. Yeah. And I was like, oh. She just, every time she's, like, in that, she thinks of him and thinks he's going to rescue her. So
right.
I thought that was really nice.
Definitely.
And it all,
but, again, it's one of the things that helped push her past all her resistance. Because right. She realized it, you know?
And we have to talk about the speech.
Alexis's graduation speech.
Yeah,
I just thought overall it was a great season finale. My only concern is that they figure out how to keep the tension in the relationship and not ruin it, like on some shows where they get a couple together.
Well, Bones did it. Like,
Bones,
I thought, Bones
it, yeah.
is fine. Like, they have the two of them together, and it totally works.
Yep.
And if
the whole moonlighting thing is overrated. People just put too much credence in that.
Well, that's because they did it badly.
They did it badly, but it has too much traction even now. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, two people can be together and, you know, and do okay. It's with the writing. It's not a curse just because they come together.
Right.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I just hope that they...
Well, I think that the Castle writers are better than the Bones writers, actually. So
yeah.
I really am like, I think it should be fine. And Nathan Fillion is made of awesome, so...
He's Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. So, I think it's all good. As long as the writers don't screw it up, I think we're good.
Right.
And we're getting a season 4 of a Nathan... Or a season 5
right.
of a Nathan Fillion show.
Yes.
How awesome is that?
So, thumbs up, Castle. Yay!
Yay! Yeah.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Modern Family.
It was a fun episode.
Disneyland. Disneyland, thank you. I like.
And the return of Dylan.
Oh, why? Why?
Oh,
why?
Because he and Haley are destined to be together.
Destinedly to be have stupid children.
Yes.
Oh,
stupid,
my goodness.
Stupid, good looking children.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I did like the whole. I love the part where Jay buys
Gloria
the slippers.
With the slippers. Oh, that
and
was
then
good.
He was like, you know, I'm
so comfortable.
He's like, you know what? I think your bad moods have to do with your shoes. And she's like, maybe, like maybe that's true. I thought that was fantastic. Like, the whole history of her life is all based on her wearing high heel shoes, of having bad moods and stuff. And then I like that also being the solution to the runaway kid. Like, that was actually kind of strangely cute and hilarious at the same time. Oh, and then the other storyline was the roller coaster.
Phil thinking he's aging and...
And so he's too old. And they're like, no, you just have the flu. And he was like, yes.
You mean I shouldn't be drinking out of the same orange juice carton with everybody else at work?
He was like, yes, you are too stupid to live too. Thank you, Phil.
It was just a solid episode.
Yeah, it wasn't anything super special, but it was fun. You know, and I like that Lily, they're like, we're going to take you off this. I like the leash thing, because they were like, everyone's judging us. I was like, yes, they are. Because I do the same thing. I see somebody walking around with a kid with a leash, and I'm always like, I just look at you funny. It's true. People do judge you. All right, moving on. Next up, let's talk about Community, which was... The thing about Community this week was bizarre.
It was brilliant, as usual. Bizarre and brilliant.
Strange rhythm.
But the thing that was weird is, I never once believed that they were all actually in an insane asylum. So I was kind of like, so what's going on here? Like, so the whole time, I couldn't lose myself in the alternate that they... The way they normally do it, you can lose yourself into whatever and kind of go with the flow. This one, I'm just sitting there going, okay, so why is this guy lying to them? Yeah, so that's...
It's reminiscent of a trope we see all the time in... You know, Buffy, there was an episode like this.
That's true.
It was just such an odd... idea.
Well, I don't think I even tried to pretend that they were, or that I was trying to be convinced that they were. I think it was part of the joke inside the joke, if you will, where it was like, are they going to be, you know, are they going to be susceptible enough to believe it? You know, because us as observers, you know, outside, you know, we're like, oh, we're not falling for that. Especially if you have John Hodgman there sitting there in their chair, you know, something's up. but yeah, you know, so I think it was just a matter of it. First of all, I think I read somewhere that it was a nice excuse to do a typical Community version of a flashback episode, where you're seeing flashbacks that were different than what we saw, even though they're from the same episodes. So it's like, wow, did they just go back and refilm that, or how did they do that? And then, you know, to try and weave that into supposedly convincing them, but then knowing that they're too clever to, in their own, like, completely inane way to fall for it themselves, which they ultimately didn't. So I don't think we were meant to truly believe it, but I think it was a nice ploy to get those weird flashbacks.
Yeah, I've seen them do better, that's all. I just thought it was okay. But then I did like the fact that Annie was like, wait a minute, I have a Community Hot backpack on right now. Like, that was funny. I was like, yes, I don't understand why they even walked out of the room believing this. I was just like, what? And he's like, and then he tries to sell them something else. I can't remember. Like, when they come back in, he's like, no, the real story is this. And it's just something else really ridiculous. Though I did like he got away while they were in the flashback.
There you go. See?
I thought that was nice.
And it's nice because now they're like, everyone's like rallying around the dean, which I thought was cute. Because, I mean, it is true that he really has always been on their side. I mean, aside from maybe Shirley in the sandwich shop, but otherwise he really has been like, he loves them. So.
Well, he loves Jeff. So let's be clear.
Well, he thinks of them as his peeps.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly. Yep.
All right. So wrapping up Community, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was their greatest. So I thought it was okay.
I gave it thumbs up. I enjoyed it.
Okay. All right. Next up, let's talk about Big Bang. And finally, Wallowitz goes to space.
Fruit Loops.
Oh, yeah. His nickname is Fruit Loops. He's like, Mom, all the kids at NASA are teasing me because I eat Fruit Loops. I was like, what are you, in grade school?
Would it help if I bought you Apple Jacks?
I'm like, no, they'll just call him Apple Jacks. I liked how they told this story in combinations of flashbacks and, like, while he's sitting on the tarmac waiting to be launched into space. So I thought
that was... two other astronauts. They were great.
Yeah, they were
one
like...
of them's a real astronaut.
Yeah, Mike.
Oh,
Mike.
Really?
Oh.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yep.
I did like not the Russian, because the Russian, I recognize that actor.
Yeah, the American.
Okay. So I like that they were just totally making... It's like, look at the newbie. He doesn't know how to fly in a rocket. and then they're like, oh, we've got an oil. Like, ah, we're fine. Don't worry about the oil. He's like, don't worry about the fuel being ignited. 9 out of 10 times, it's nothing. All of that was pretty good. And then the actual wedding, I was like, oh, I like how they did the wedding.
I like that it was all of them that got licensed to do it.
Yeah, to marry them. Yeah, that was cute. And that they were just...
And you know, here's the thing that amazes me is, again, we saw it a couple weeks ago where Wolowitz had, like, the most amazing boyfriend speech when, you know, he came to the door when she was, you know, right. She was mad at him and near the end. And it was just that amazing statement that he made about her changing his life and all that stuff. And then in this one, I'm like, you guys, you're making me die of, like, romance throes because... It's the thing with the star pendant, and he's going to take it up to space.
Oh,
you
know, like, that was awesome.
Nice. Wolowitz, how are you so freaking romantic?
The end where everybody just randomly grabbed people's hands.
Yeah.
That was cute. The only one I didn't believe was Sheldon. Sheldon was the only, because he grabs Amy's hand.
Yeah,
that's the only. Yeah, that's the only one I didn't believe. Like everybody else, I believe them grabbing the other person's hand. But that one, I was like, I don't know.
I'll be interested to see if in season 6 is coming up, right?
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see if they actually start exploring whatever their relationship is.
Well, Amy knows what she wants.
It's the one thing. It's like, what was it, 2 episodes or what, last week where she was starting to do things, you know, yes. that he likes.
Yes. She's using the Pavlov's response and things like that, or psycho, I don't remember what it was.
Right, whatever. But yeah, because she was, but I think because she's conditioning him, so I could buy the hand because of that episode that, okay, it's working, you know?
Okay. All right.
But and the one thing I liked about this one, too, is seeing Google Earth, because it was funny, like, as they pulled back, it was like a heart with it. Arrow.
Right. That was pretty nice.
When he was laying down the white paper, it's like, what is he doing? It doesn't make any sense.
It does if you see it from space. So I thought that was all pretty good. I like that. This was a good one. It was nicely romantic, and it made me happy to be with the crew and everything.
Yes, and I liked Amy still being the diva about it. All, like, too into being the maid of honor, you know?
She got to wear the dress twice.
Twice.
All right. So thumbs up for Big Bang. Mm-hmm. All right. So next up, we're talking about Vampire Diaries.
I gotta say, I give them props for having the cojones to go where I was hoping they were gonna go.
I really didn't think they were gonna go there. I felt like Twilight's already done it. They're not gonna do it. It's too obvious. They're not gonna do it. And then when they did it, I was actually surprised. I was like, huh, I didn't see that coming. So it was nice. I mean, even if you thought they were gonna do it, I really didn't expect them to.
Right.
So, Elena becoming a vampire, but of course, now the question is, they gotta get her to drink blood, which she's not gonna want to do. But, I liked how they did it where the nurse is the one that gave her the vampire blood. Or, excuse me.
How sexist.
I just realized, I was gonna say, how sexist of me. So, the doctor's the one that gave her, it's like, that's the character, I totally don't care about her, anyway. But, you know, she gave her. She's not next season, is she?
She's what's his face. She's married to Paul Wesley, so we'll be seeing her for a while.
Oh, seriously? Yeah. That's why we got that loser.
Oh, come on, she's not.
She's not that.
Yes,
bad.
She is. I cannot stand her on that show. She needs to go away. Anyway, so it's all her fault that she gave. But I mean, I understood why she did it. She gave her the blood and figured she'd be fine, and nobody would know. Right. Totally makes sense. And then of course she gets killed, and it's like, oops. She gets killed with vampire blood in her system. What are the odds?
Does any of her doppelganger abilities stay or not?
No, they're gone. That's why Catherine became a vampire, so she wouldn't be the doppelganger anymore. She did that.
Okay.
Remember, she did that on purpose.
That's right.
So actually, now the doppelganger line is gone because she can't have kids now. So done. No more doppelgangers.
Mm. That's it.
Yep.
And speaking of that, so what? I didn't understand the whole Klaus Tyler.
Klaus taking possession of Tyler's body.
Yes. The thing that I didn't understand is I don't understand why Bonnie did it in the first place. Like, she wants revenge on Klaus, so why would she put Klaus in Tyler's body?
Because
Tyler's
if
her
Klaus
friend.
Dies, all her friends die.
Yes, but why would she...
Bonnie's her mother.
That's true, so she's sacrificing her friend Tyler to die? Why would she... Like, I don't...
But he was going to die anyway.
Oh, wow.
Right.
That's a way a psychopath thinks about things. I'm just saying, that's just like, wow, you're right, he was going to die anyway. So she puts Tyler in Klaus's body to be killed, and Klaus in Tyler's body. Only problem I have is I don't think the actor who plays Tyler can pull off Klaus. That's my issue.
You're correct.
Yeah, he's not a good enough actor to pull that off.
We'll see what they'll do.
They need him to go away. Like, oh, Klaus Mysterious has left town. Like,
I thought the flashbacks were kind of interesting to see.
And also now Elena's connected to Klaus because the blood she stole was Damon's. That's Damon's blood. So Damon is technically her sire.
I think it's
going to be interesting.
I think it's really interesting that there was so much hype. Which one will she choose? Which one? We knew she was going to choose Stefan. Come on, seriously?
I knew that's what on paper, Stefan looks better, but I can't stand them together.
Well, they're boring together.
Yes.
That's what I mean, because Damon is such a wild card.
Yeah, and so now, though, I think since she's going to be a vampire, I think that's going to change, though. Because now she doesn't have to be... whatever, like the rules are different now.
Plus, if Damon's blood sired her,
it's gonna make them connected more.
It's gonna connect them.
Yeah.
So I'll be really interested to see what's gonna happen next season.
Yes.
I thought it was.
It was good.
And evil. The last of evil Alaric. I know you didn't like evil Alaric, but
well, now he gets to rest in peace. So I'm happy about that.
Yes. Yes.
But I did the emotional scenes. I really liked. Is I liked the moment where Jeremy realized that Elena was dead.
Yeah.
And I like the moment where Damon realized that Elena was dead. Like, both of those are really good points. So, I can't wait for next season. All right, thumbs up. Moving on.
Definitely.
Moving on. Next up, we want to talk about Scandal.
I'm going to sit back and listen to y'all fight.
I hear tell that Ronnie did not like this episode of Scandal.
I liked parts of it, but I like Scandal because of the intrigue. And I feel like it jumped the shark just because, you know, we already have one murder. Now we have a second one. And it just feels like, okay, you know, with everything else going on, we don't need to keep murdering people. There's enough going on already.
Well, my thing is, I don't think that murder is going to be that. Well, it's going to be slightly a big deal because the last person that was with him was the girl from The Office, the new chick from The Office. So
yes.
She, like, went out for coffee. She's going to come back, and he's murdered. But hopefully she doesn't freaking touch the scissors, and we'll be fine. Like, she should be lawyer enough to know not to touch the murder weapon. But I actually feel like that lawyer was too stupid to live anyway. Like, he invites this guy to his home and then tells him, I have all this blackmail information on you, including the autopsy report that proves that you were the father of the baby. And then turns his back on the guy. I'm like, you're just too dumb. But that's all whatever. All I cared about was the flashbacks were intense. Those flashbacks were incredibly good. And you got to see every step of the way of... I like the fact that it was kind of lust at first sight. Like the president sees her on the first day he sees her and she talks to him. He's like, we need to fire her. And he's like, why are we firing her? He's like, we need to fire her. And then she gets all insulted, like, why are you trying to fire me? And he just stares at her, and she's like, oh.
Yes.
And I like how she was just like, oh, that's it. And then and then she's like, well, we'll just avoid each other. I was like, that's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. But very I swear, bad. Man, just them holding hands when they're like on that bus, and all
that
they're
was intense.
All he did was touch fingers, and I was like, holy crap. Like, my television was on fire. Like, flames were coming out of it. It was just like... And then the sex scene. Shonda Rhimes said that was the only thing she's ever written where she actually blushed when they were shooting it. Like, she's like, it was really intense sex scene, I have to say. For not that much nakedness, it was hot. Like, wow. Everybody has seen a million of them, you know?
Yes.
This one was not the same. Anyway,
cutting back and forth. It was very different. Yes, completely.
Well, I'm fanning myself just talking about it. But go ahead. What did you say?
I was going to say another point too. But it's interesting because the sort of the tape of the president having sex is we find out is with Olivia.
Oh, that was a nice twist. That was a really good twist, though.
That was an excellent twist. Yes. So I like that. But then again, it's just like, but as the story's going along, you know what I mean? But where's it going to go from here? So I enjoyed the flashbacks and even like understanding the relationship more between the president and his wife and how cold and, you know, how much that's a marriage of convenience was also sort of interesting to understand those different pieces of it. So to me, there's like enough intrigue there. So let's not keep killing people. It's not needed, you know?
Well, one, they had to establish that the guy, I think his name is Michael. he's the guy that you thought was a good guy. Like, he's the chief of staff of the vice president. And every time you see him, he seems really nice, really cordial. And I really liked him. And and they needed to establish, no, he is evil. So they had him kill the reporter. And I was like, okay, fine. But when you find, the thing that's the twist is when you find out what it was he had that recording of Olivia and the president having sex, but he didn't know who it was. So he had this great evidence, but no face for the woman that the president was having sex with. So he plants the Amanda Tanner, he plants her in his office to have sex with the president so that there's a face to it. And I thought that was great. I thought that was the whole puzzle kind of came together. And you're talking about jumping the shark? Are you crazy? Like, the whole, you finally get the full picture of what's going on.
Right, but then why, why have another murder attached to it, though?
Well, I just said, they specifically wanted to...
They wanted him to be evil, but, I mean, it was evil enough just him finding out, or him being the one behind this whole thing, because even now that ties in the vice president, because they were initially going to use that during the campaign.
Yeah, and when, but now he wants to get the president impeached. That's what it's about, so that the vice president can become president.
Right.
Well, and my thing is, the way they had been writing the reporter, every time everybody told him to slow down, to not do whatever, he just kept barreling forward. And I understand that as a reporter, that's part of your responsibility, but yeah, no. He was too stupid to live. He was a loose end that had to get closed up. Some kind of way they had to close that loose end, because he was just not on the right path there. But anyway, we're out of time. Sorry.
Okay.
So, are you still going to watch? Do you think that murder really ruined the show for you?
It ruined the episode. So maybe I'll take a step back. You know, next week is the finale. So I'll watch the finale. Whether I do, depends on how next week goes. I don't know if I'll go season two or not.
Really? Sad to me. All right. Because I thought that was the best episode they've done. Like, that flashback stuff was amazing. Anyway, next up, let's talk about Person of Interest.
Wow.
I forgot the timer.
Another great week with Person of Interest. You know, we're just learning more and more understanding about the machine and how, and who was behind putting the machine together.
Right. Well, we knew it was Finch, like, that we already knew that. But it was interesting is last week was Reese's backstory, and this week is Finch's backstory. And we almost find out how he got injured. We're so close.
We're getting closer. It's funny because his former partner, Nathan, the piece we need to know is what happened to him exactly.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because somebody obviously killed him.
Well, because you can tell that they're like only six people know about the machine. And once they got the machine away from them, then their point was to kill him so that he didn't know about it. But they didn't know about Finch. They didn't know they needed to kill Finch. Because they thought that the other guy was the one who built the machine.
And how creepy was the reveal that this woman...
Was listening
to them.
But I think she was actually, if you look at the flashback, she was Nathan's contact. So she was the one, but now she apparently is on the run. Like, she's in hiding.
Right.
So her finding out that Finch built the machine doesn't mean that the government's going to come slamming down on him, because she's obviously out.
Well, I'm just wondering, I hope she's not going to give him up to save herself somehow.
But she actually doesn't know who the heck he is.
Well... It sounds like from the Paley event a couple weeks ago that they're really going to blow some things up in this finale this week.
Oh, definitely. I hope so. I mean, I do want to finally know why is he limping and why, like, what's going on. So I think they're definitely on the road of doing big reveals. Though in the preview it looked like finally it was going to come down to the two cops about to shoot each
other.
Oh,
yeah. That's Lionel versus Carter.
Yes, they really do need to tell them. Like, every time I think, oh, he's going to tell them now, and he doesn't. Like, that's bad.
See, but was fun, like, in this episode, because when, I can't think of the person of interest, what the guy's name
Reese?
No, the guy.
Person.
Oh.
Whose number came up.
Oh, I forgot. He was a CIA analyst.
Right, you know, but the thing is that, I mean, but he understood, I mean, you know, he was so close to understanding the machine and what it can do. Because it says, oh my God, it really did happen. And as he's confessing all the different things that he knows, of course, it's Fusco, you know, sort of there in the confession room.
Who's an idiot?
Then, if it had been Carter, you know?
Yeah, if it had been Carter, it's like, whoa, she would have
figured it out.
Totally confronted Finch or Reese.
Right. Reese.
Yeah, but Fosco is not the brainchild of the operation.
Right. But that whole scene, I love the setup because you think that he is talking to Carter. So they like pull back and he goes, oh, so you want a soda or something?
That was great.
And it's also interesting how like this the scene where they where Finch and was it Nathan where they're at the computer and that they did build the back door, but Finch wasn't initially going to do that.
Well, I was kind of wondering, does Finch know about the back door, because Nathan did it covertly on his own? So that's the question. But one thing we got to mention before we move on is that Finch had a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
and
that's his real life wife.
That's okay. But what I was surprised by is that when Reese figures it out and then he goes over and talks to Finch, I thought Finch was going to be mad, but he wasn't at all. I thought that was interesting. Like, their relationship is to the point where...
I would think turnabout's fair play, because Finch has done stuff like
that. Yeah, that's true. And I guess... But I still, that doesn't mean you're not going to be mad. So, I actually was really surprised that Finch was like, yeah, you figured it out. Okay. He was just really calm. But anyway, let's move on. Any final statements are good?
No, great show.
All right. So, thumbs up. Moving on.
Definitely.
Next up, we want to talk about... I guess it's just me. Talk about The Mentalist. I looked on what's next on the list, and it says The Mentalist. I was like, it's just me. I will have you know that I do have other people who are finally watching it. So Peter's watching it, but he's in season one. Greg's watching it, but he's watching it randomly. He's watching all the repeats and stuff. So eventually, maybe my friends will catch up. But this week's episode was amazing in that... Basically, it's the whole it's the 9-year anniversary of his wife and daughter's death. So it's already a really hard day for Jane. So he's having a bad day. But then Red John decides to egg him on and he sends him a happy anniversary card. Which I was just like, really? That's wrong.
That's cold.
That's on so many levels.
That's just so wrong. And then he sends him, so Jane is at the graveside of his family. And he sends this little girl to Jane with a little happy face on her hand. And she's like, yes, your friend told me to ask you a question. And he's like, all right, what's the question? And he's like, have you given up yet? And I was just like, really?
Wow.
Jane's basically having his concentration is blown. Like, he's trying to work on a case and all the stuff he normally does is just not working, and he has no confidence in himself because his head is just not in the game. And then he just starts flipping out. I mean, he just starts doing really crazy stuff, and he figures out who the killer is on his case. And I guess part of it is kind of a long con, because I think he's realized that everything he's been doing for the last 9 years to catch Red John isn't working. So he has to flip the script. So he's decided to just do something else entirely. And I don't know what it is, but it's a long con kind of thing. But one thing I think he did get actual pleasure out of is he figured out who the killer was on his case. And he draws this guy to the graveyard thinking, and the bad guy thinks, I've got him at my advantage, because the bad guy's got a gun. And he thinks that Jane is screwed, and Jane just keeps talking to him, and he goes, so you let this guy suffer for days to die, and you got sadistic pleasure out of watching him die slowly, so you're really evil. And the guy just kind of looks at him and is like, yeah, I'm not going to admit to anything like that. He goes, huh. And so he basically verbally justifies himself, and then he gets the guy to turn and look somewhere else, and he pops him upside the head with a shovel and buries the dude alive.
No.
And I was like, holy crap.
Whoa.
And
okay.
I was kind of like, I'm pretty sure that's going to be bad. And of course, the next morning, he finally tells the other cops, he tells Elizabeth, he's like, yeah, I totally buried that guy alive, and I'm not letting him out until he admits that he killed whoever he killed. And they're like, yeah, you can't do that. And he's just like, he put a baby monitor in there. He's like, do you give up yet? Do you admit it yet? And the guy's like, just screaming and screaming. Finally, the guy's like, yes, of course I killed him. And I was none of that's admissible to court. You know, it's say, yeah. Everyone knows
the evidence,
right? Everyone, and that's what they when they finally dig the guy up, they're like, "We're open to a lawsuit. We can't use anything he said in court. None of it's like you've blown the entire case." And Jane just like he was like, "Well, he deserved it." Like he is totally like flipped off, flipped out, and the boss he doesn't really respect this guy, and he just like. Hits every single button this dude has, like all of them at once, and the guy just flips out and fires Jane, which that I think was part of the long con. Jane wanted to get very publicly fired. He wanted that to happen because he has realized that Red John, he's like the only way to beat Red John is to not play the game. And he also realizes that Red John is all about getting disciples, and that the reason that Red John hasn't killed him in all these years is he wants Jane to be one of his disciples. So he's like, all right, let's do this. So I think that's the big arc that they're moving toward, that he's actually going to become a Red John disciple so that he can get close to Red John. I don't think he's actually a Red John disciple, but I think that's part of his plan. So that's where the show's going, and it is made of awesome right now. I'm like, holy crap. When he buried that dude alive, he hit him upside the head with a shovel. I was like, and the dude falls like 10 feet or 6 feet, because it's a grave, 6 feet. Falls 6 feet into the grave, face first. I was like, are you kidding me? You can't do that. Anyway, awesome. Done.
Cute. Was that the season finale, though?
No, it was the lead up to the season finale.
Oh, geez.
I was
okay.
Like, are you... I thought at first, I was like, is this the finale? But then they showed the preview for next week, and I went, holy crap, because Red John wants him to do something bigger to prove his loyalty. So
okay.
Jane has to do something even more insane. So, whew, can't wait. Next up is Grimm. And this week's episode was mediocre-ish, except that only thing I will say that really irritated me in this episode was, what's his name?
Hank.
Not Hank, the main guy.
Nick.
Nick had two opportunities to tell the people that he cared about in his life the truth. And he squandered them. Because now I feel like when Hank does eventually
find out
what's going on, he is going to be very, very angry. Yeah, that was uncool, man. He had the perfect...
It's not... when he basically says, you're seeing things, man.
That was uncool.
That's like,
well,
that's like
he didn't,
so not cool.
I noticed that too, but he didn't... like confirm or deny. You can see that he was conflicted. I mean, he was over.
He denied. He didn't confirm it. He denied. There was no in between. He totally screwed his friend.
He just basically said, "I didn't see anything,"
which is a lie. He totally lied.
Well, but I'm with him on that. I mean, that didn't bother me at all. I'm totally
against him because that was a really good opportunity to bring his friend in on what's going on. And he believed, because before he thought if he told him, he wouldn't believe him. Now, he absolutely would have believed him.
Well, there's a difference between having him believe him and having him react any potential way against it or for it. I mean, now he could believe it doesn't mean that it's going to make things okay or not, you know?
It's much better than lying to him and thinking he's crazy, because at some point he's going to have to find out. Like, you can't keep this going on.
Well, no, and we're saying it's probably going to happen next week, you know, at least with
Juliet,
at least.
Well,
but,
yeah, well, Juliet, but see, that's the other thing.
It might be too late for her.
Well, Juliet, her finding out, she's figured it out on her own. Like, by herself, she's figured it out. And he has a perfect opportunity to tell her as well. And I'm just like, he should use it because, one, you know, I've seen Buffy and all that with the secret identity. That only works for so long. And then you have to tell your people. And I feel like if he doesn't tell Hank now, then he's ruined his friendship with him.
Well, and I think that's what we'll find out. I'm hoping that's what we'll find out next week. Because, I mean, because I look at it as, obviously, Juliet's going to get it first. Because we see that in the previews anyway. But you're right. And I think Hank needs to know. But I'm wondering how they're going to build that dynamic. Like, maybe... Nick needs to make sure it's okay with Juliet first, because then he can gauge how it will be with Hank. And if Juliet freaks out and it doesn't work, then he's obviously not going to run to Hank and say, "Oh, I'll try it again and see if my best friend on the force, you know, freaks out, my partner freaks out too." So then he's completely left alienated by his, I guess, human friends or alliances, if you will. So I don't know if that's going to play into the story arc into season 2 or not for Hank to know before then.
I think he needs to know, just because, especially...
He does, and he probably will sooner rather than later. But you know what it is, too, and this is what kind of I wonder about, because look at how much the fans, including myself, love having Monroe being the one that's on the in with Nick and kind of, you know, doing the monster part of the research with him, if you will, his monster buddy versus his... his cop buddy. So how will that dynamic change if Hank is involved, you know?
But Hank is still not an expert. He's still going to need Monroe. It's not like he can throw Monroe over the ledge, because Monroe is still the one that knows all this stuff.
He's the go-to guy.
He's still the go-to guy, but I feel like if you don't do it, then Hank becomes just stupid. He's just a stupid...
No, you know what? And I think Hank will need to, because I'm hoping that when Hank is pulled in... then they're both going to have to, something's going to have to give, and they're going to have to start wondering what's up with Renault, with their boss.
Right.
And I would like to see the two of them kind of take that one on.
Yeah, that would be cool. And he needs more help than less help. Anyway.
Yeah, and I think now that they have a season two, you know, that's been announced for a while, I think that gives them more leverage to play into it. But what's funny about this episode, I liked it, but what I think is funny is what bothered me is actually Juliet and you know, her getting the hair sample and, you know, just kind of playing around and thinking about it. And I don't know, I just think it was kind of weak the way they made her, you know, just kind of come to this conclusion of, well, I don't know, it seems to be kind of this hybrid, but oh well, let's go to sleep. You know, it's like that for me, that didn't really stand out very much as what it should have been when she was doing her analysis. But
yeah, I didn't think this was one of the stronger episodes. I kind of was. And if they don't resolve this, it's kind of the way I want, which is the people to find out, I'm not going to be happy.
And the case,
well, we know Juliet will find out next week, but whether or not Hank, I don't know, we'll see. So.
The case itself was really lame.
It was lame.
It was, yeah.
All right, moving.
But I think it was the only way that they could think of to get it, like, this was their excuse to be able to have normal people see them versus just the Grimms.
Yeah, I get you, but I felt like they could have done it better. Anyway, moving on. So thumbs sideways-ish for me.
I would say one up, one sideways.
It's like making up stuff now.
And from the Russian judge, Niet.
All right, next up, let's talk about Supernatural. And this is the episode, the penultimate for Supernatural.
Boy, it's almost like a whole... It's everything that was wrong about this season is in this episode. Yeah. It's just a nutshell.
I wanted to like smack everybody like every 5 minutes, basically.
Just...
Well, because the thing is, their whole solution to keeping Bobby, they're like, every time he uses his power, he gets more evil, so we have to leave him behind. I was like, do you not realize that every time you leave him behind, you make him more angry? Like that.
That's right.
Like, you got, like, what he needs is you guys to make him feel like he belongs.
Uh-huh.
That's what you need to do, and you're doing the absolute wrong thing. Because if they had brought him along and made him feel part of the team, he wouldn't have gone off and been Mr. Crazy Guy. Though I like the fact how he figured out what the combination of the safe was. He's like, oh, it's my own birthday, you idiot. I thought that was pretty good. But
I think you're right, because he wouldn't be a vengeful spirit if they would let him have a purpose and help them.
Exactly. And I think they are the ones that are screwing it up. And
yes,
that makes me so frustrated. Mm-hmm. Because now that he's possessed somebody, they have no choice.
Yeah. You know? He's walking the line, man.
Oh, well, he's past the line. By possessing
we hope he can come back. It's Bobby. I'm giving him some hope.
Well, I don't. Depends on what they do in the finale. But then, and then the Roman stuff, like,
oh my gosh, and this whole solution with the different blood of the alpha. That's just what? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even care about that.
Yeah, but it is amusing for them to meet the alpha again and talk to him. And I got thrown out of the episode when he was like, see you next season.
Seriously? aren't we confident?
It's like, see you next season? Like, who says that?
I wonder if they shot that two ways just as like an in-joke to the fans.
That wasn't even an in-joke. That was a throw you out of the fourth wall joke. Like, what? Are you kidding? I could have even been all right with see you next year.
Right.
If he had just said see you next year, I would have been fine.
See you next time.
That's what it should have been. It
should have been, yeah.
But
see you next
I would have even been okay with see you next year. That would have been fine. But see you next season? Anyway, so that was weird. But I like that actor playing.
He's cool. He's really,
really
cool.
Good. And he's got his voice has got that.
I've met him. He's really cool too.
Yeah. He's got that way. So I really liked him, and I liked how they negotiated for the boy to be released. He's like, really? I'm making you a deal, giving you my blood, and you want my kid? And food is in low supply? So he's like, whatever, freaking Winchesters. That was good. And of course, now you don't know what Crawley's going to do because they...
Master of the Double Cross? Come on.
Well, he's the King of Hell now.
Yeah.
So he's in charge of all the denizens downstairs. But what's great is he's always looking out for self. So I have no idea what he's going to do with... But I don't think he's going to get killed. I don't think the...
Dick Roman?
I don't think... Well... They kill angels like left and right, so I suppose they could kill Crawley, but
I just want this whole storyline to go away.
Yeah. I think next week is it. I think that's it.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know what the hell is going on with Castiel. He's an angel, he remembers this stuff, he doesn't pull my finger and lights go crazy. Out.
I know. They haven't figured it out. But all I know is hopefully when the new guy comes in, he waves a magic wand over Cass's head and he's sane again.
Because
that's just so stupid. But I have a bad feeling that the bone of the righteous is going to be Kevin Tran's bone. I think I have a bad feeling because I thought about that. I was like, who the heck is going to be the bone of the righteous? And I was like, the only person I can think of is Kevin Tran.
Huh. Wow.
So that's not good for him.
No.
Because I think he needs his bones.
Did you ever think it would?
He's got to be good for him. Yeah, well, you know, maybe they just take a little pinky or something. Who knows?
That's kind of hard to stab somebody with a pinky bone.
Make it the end of your shiv.
So, all right. So, Supernatural. It was okay, but I do want this storyline to be over, and Cass is in it next week, so I would be way more excited if he wasn't super crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, next up, let's talk about the season finale. Not the series, but the season finale of Fringe.
I just have to ask, was I dreaming last week, or did they tip the hand that Rebecca Mader, the red-haired actress, was a bad girl the first time she appeared?
No, they only in the preview.
I totally...
No, they showed it. If you watched the preview, you knew she was bad.
The episode itself had no indication. No. We thought we were done with her and that she was a good one. She went back to her kids and everything was fine.
Because after her thing on Lost, it's like...
She's always evil?
Yeah, you're evil, babe. Sorry.
No, but what was made of awesome was when Olivia did the catching the bullets and threw them back at her thing.
Yes.
Oh, that was awesome.
Thing.
Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic. I was like, what was that? Her hand moved and, ooh, she's bleeding. That was great. And then they do the whole thing, the Cortexafan is out of her blood, so she's normal. And I was like, no! She's awesome as a superhero! You know?
Maybe I missed that part, because I know they were describing it. So he was saying after she recuperated from the hole in her head, killed it all?
Yeah, because that used up all the Cortexafan to get the bullet out of her head. It used it all up, and so now she's back to normal levels. And I was just like, pump it up again! Get another needle!
Yeah, wow, okay.
She is fantastic. With her superpowers, I was like, wow, she's just doing stuff left and right. And it made the show awesome. So.
Well, and do you know, we weren't sure for a while if we were going to get picked up. So I'm kind of curious to know if you guys think, at the end, everything's happy ending, I'm pregnant, yay, and Walter remembers Astrid's name, and everyone's happy.
Yeah,
that little bit at the end, that little tease that it's like, okay, here's September saying, they're coming. So, do we think that was put in there?
They said they had two endings.
That was false. They said that there was
they lied about them having two endings.
There were not two alternate endings shot.
So maybe that was just an addition at the end of it or something. I don't know.
I feel like they wouldn't have shown that.
Yeah.
If that was the series ended. Been them.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like that last
it would have ended you fine never the know. Way it was. Yeah.
I'm confused with November. He's been killed so many times. Was he killed in this episode or is he time shifting from another?
At the beginning of when he gets shot, she was like, "Oh, this is when you're shot." So he goes back in time and talks to him when she's shot, but I think at the very end it's before all of that, he's time traveling. He's the doctor.
Confusing. It's like you've been shot, doctor. And are you coming back from when before you were shot or after you were shot or?
Yeah, but that was cool. He's like, oh, now I understand. He's like, oh, because we haven't had that conversation yet. So yes, he goes back in time.
Do we think that next season's going to be about trying to prevent this whatever with the observers?
War with the observers. Yeah, it's fight the future. Next season is fight the future.
That was the X-Files.
I know, but that's what they put the plug on at the bottom. It says fight the future. So, yeah, that's the thing. So, thumbs up.
Fringe. Yeah.
Great finale. Before we go on, I want to plug Tron Uprising, which I got to see a sneak peek of this week. It premieres next Friday on Disney Channel.
Disney XD.
Well, I think it does Disney and Disney XD, different ones. But it's going to air normally on Disney XD. But I have to say, if you are a Tron fan, check it out. It's cinematic. It looks like you're watching a movie. They took 2 years on this pilot. It looks amazing. Great voice actors. So two thumbs way up. And I'll have some press on the website for it in the next week. So look for that. And so if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And you can listen to us on Stitcher.com, GetThePointRadio.com, Krypton Radio, and Weedonopolis, and iTunes. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.